Good morning and welcome to each one of you, the friends that you have seated next to you and those friends who are joining us online. Welcome. Today, these persons will be assisting in leading worship: Joe Snyder, Allie Hall, and the music by Clara Emery, Kirby Gillum, and Sarah Taylor, the Plain Songs. We welcome them today as well. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of our summer schedule. Labor Day weekend ends our worship services out here. So we will meet out here next Sunday. And then on September 8th, we have our return Sunday. We return to our fall, winter, spring schedule. And that will be downtown at 10 a.m., a little bit later for this group, at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary. So looking forward to it. This will be a spectacular worship service. We will be dedicating the new carpet that is in the sanctuary. You will see how that process occurred through a slideshow. We are also going to perform an entire bell choir, an entire congregation bell choir. So you get to be a part of that. It just should be a lot of fun. It's with the children's bells, and each of you will get to select your color as you arrive next on September 8th, not next Sunday. An item that's coming up soon is Wednesday, September 11th. We are hosting a volunteer reception center training. The reception center training is that we will be training ourselves. Any of you are welcome to join me, and those that will be training us will be in Fellowship Hall. This training is also for the community. We will have folks coming in to learn how to process volunteers. If Madison County goes through a horrific disaster, for example, if we have a tornado that actually hits Anderson, which we hope never happens, this is a training we hope we never have to use, but we will be prepared just in case. In that case, we are learning how to process those volunteers that will come into the county and assign them to the different tasks that need to be done. So it is a training well worth knowing, but we do hope we never have to use that training. And that again is Wednesday, September 11th. From 6 to 8 p.m. in our fellowship hall. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
My turn.
As we return to our seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Please stand as you are able for the call to worship and our opening hymn. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God.
Good morning. I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment. All right. Good morning, guys. We are going to be closing out our remarkable series today. And we've been learning that we are remarkably and wonderfully made in the image of God. So, Jackson, why don't you go ahead and open up our bag for us this morning. Whoa, what's that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Card, do you take number one? Good job. You take number two. You take number three. All right, Jackson, you open up number one for me. He's opening. All right, don't answer it. Jackson, do you know what that is? You think it's a lake? You think it's a lake? Okay, you open up number two. All right, do you think you know what that is? It's okay if you don't think, if you don't know. You, okay. Open up number three. What's that?
Oh, a thumbprint.
A thumbprint. These are all a thumbprint. It's just really zoomed in. And then a little bit zoomed in. And then you see the whole thing. Isn't that really neat? Jackson, you said that looks like a lake, but it's really a thumb. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah, you can take a look. You can pass them around. Isn't that amazing? And did you know that all of our fingerprints are different? Every single one. There's no two alike in the whole wide world. That's how amazing and remarkably we were made. Yes?
That kind of makes sense because I was at a toy where you had to put a thumb on it to get the beast out.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. Well, we're going to go inside and we're going to talk a little bit more about how remarkably we're made and that we were made for relationships. So we're going to head inside right now.
Believing in God's goodness, we are called to share what we have been given so that we can nurture our spiritual journey and invite others to join us. Let us give with grateful hearts.
My God is love.
Generous God, we don't give because you make us. We don't give because anyone else is watching. We give because of your love for us. How great is this love that welcomes us like family. Bless our gifts, God, that more may know you and this love. Amen.
It's frightening. You see right through this mess inside me. Then you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. Hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. Guard my heart with your truth, a kind of love that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known. Ridiculous grace to be known, fully known, and loved by you. I'm fully known, and loved by you. It's so unusual, it's frightening. I'm fully known, and loved by you.
Heavenly Father, we greet you together as we pray and open our hearts more fully to your presence. Each breath we take reminds us that your Spirit surrounds and enfolds us, moving around and through each of us. You bind us together as your body called the church, and as we open our hearts and minds, we find you within us. In our human condition, we cannot possibly know the full truth of your being. So, dear God, help us to understand more deeply who you are and wipe away our misconceptions of who you are not. Let your Spirit work in each of our lives so that we grow in community to think and act more like you. We pray that we will walk faithfully alongside you so that those who grieve will know comfort and those who are isolated will be welcomed as neighbors. We ask for healing for those who suffer from injury and from physical and mental illnesses. And we pray you will use us to help those in need. Stop and enlighten us when we fail to see the needs of others around us. You have blessed each one of us with gifts to care for others, but we are sometimes too stubborn or scared to try them out. As the psalmist prayed, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, and so let our actions be accepted as well. We pray that in a world so bent on separating us into categories, that you will guide us to actions of inclusiveness, spurred by love, that will open our eyes to incorrect assumptions we make about each other. You call us together as your body to model your heaven on earth. Make us one in Christ and one in each other as we pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of the gospel. It was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple, walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surrounded him and asked, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? You are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus replied, "I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they know me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand." And from Romans 5, verses 20 and 21, "All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hand down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
I received a phone call, and it was a frantic young woman over the phone. At least she sounded like a young woman, and she wanted to make an appointment to come in and talk to me, and so I did, and she wanted the appointment immediately, which is a little unusual when people call. But I made the appointment, and sure enough, she was right there in my office and came in. And she said, "I am a bride-to-be," and I could tell by the situation that we were sitting in and her anxiety that this was not a time to say, "Well, congratulations." She seemed pretty upset, so I withhold any kind of comment. And she went on to say, we are soon to be married, and I didn't want to go to my pastor because I didn't want this to get around. But I have done some things in my past that I am very, very ashamed of, and I know if he finds out about this, he won't love me anymore, and the wedding will be off. Well, that's pretty heavy. We simply talked. I could not fix that for her. I could not talk to him for her, but I listened a long time. I listened to her story. And you know, acceptance, that fear of being rejected is something that we are all afraid of. I mean, we have friends. And I love the quote that I've read over and over again that said, "A true friend is someone who loves me and knows me," right? Or knows me and still loves me. We definitely tune into being accepted. We try to do whatever we can to be accepted by others. We want to feel like we fit in, and rejection is awful. If you've ever been in a situation where you've experienced that. Just this past week, an article was published, and it was entitled "The Fear of Rejection, an Epidemic." And the author says acceptance is something that we truly, truly cherish in the United States. We work very hard, and went on through the article to talk about ways that we really, truly work to protect our acceptance into the lives of other people. Especially those that we value or love. And the author then added a personal note and said, "Rejection is my greatest fear, aside from very long-legged, hairy, fast-crawling insects." And went on to say that I live my life, I recognize this, I live my life in a bubble. And I only attempt those things that I know I can do by myself. Folks, that's not a life. That's definitely not living a life. We have many examples of that around us. Living a life. And not living a life. Living fully and truly is knowing that we are loved. Loved beyond all cases. There was a man who experienced this kind of rejection growing up. He ended up becoming a two-time governor of Tennessee. But when he was born to an unwed single mother in a very small town in the hills of Tennessee. And there he learned about her rejection by the community and the hatred the community had for her and what she represented to them. He felt he grew up with and he experienced. When he started school, he experienced a lot of bullying. And he said one of the things that just hurt the most was when the kids would make fun of him and say, well, your dad must be, and run down a litany of who the father might be, including the town drunk and so on and so forth. Well, as he became a teenager, he decided to attempt to go. He said, I don't know why. I decided to try to go to the small church in town. And he said, I really felt inspired when I was there. But in order to not be rejected, he would arrive late and leave early, so that he wouldn't get caught. He wouldn't get stopped by anybody and rejected, having them tell him that somebody like him did not belong in church. Until one day he just didn't get out soon enough. And he felt a real heavy hand on his shoulder as he headed down the church aisle toward the front, the door to escape. And the pastor himself was there, and he was a big, burly, kind of lumberjack kind of guy, and a big, heavy hand, and he just braced. He knew what was coming. It was a lecture about how dare you come into our presence. But then he said the most horrible words he heard came out of the pastor's mouth, and he says, you know, I think you resemble somebody I know. And he thought, you've got to be kidding. He is doing the same thing to me as the kids at school did to me. And the pastor proceeded, you are a child of God. And you resemble your father. And he said he just froze. He didn't know quite how to take that. And looked up at the pastor, and the pastor said, now go and claim your inheritance. This man said that when he left that day, he walked into a new life. No more hiding. No more living in a bubble. No more avoiding who he was, because he was a child of God. And God loved him so much that he too had an inheritance. We hear that. We hear that in John 10 that we heard this morning in our scripture, and it says, I love them. I give them eternal life, Christ says. Loved and known. Going on in this scripture, this setting is very important. The location of this is very important for John 10. It is located on the east side of the temple where this conversation is taking place. And Jesus was actually challenged by the leaders in the temple, the leaders of the community, the Jewish community. And it was wintertime, and he was in Solomon's courtyard, the portico there. It was actually like a porch on the east side of the temple. And there he was under some shelter, so that the people could gather with him under his shelter. So evidently, the weather was not good. Chilly, wet. And there, Jesus taught. He was confronted and he responded. But this portico, this place was he was in was during the time of Hanukkah. We know Hanukkah as the Festival of Lights. That's what we've heard it as. And that's because in current times, the Jewish people have a whole series, the candle operas, the Hanukkah lights, and those are lit during this festival. of Hanukkah. And so it has become known as that. But in Jesus' time, you remember it was called the Feast of Dedication. And that is because it began 162 BC. So 162 years plus before Jesus was seated there. And it was the dedication of the new temple. The first temple that Solomon had built up had been destroyed, and the second temple had been built, and this is the one that Jesus knew. And so this was a time of this dedication, the time of God protecting the people, bringing them back together so that they could truly and be the people of God and worship again in the temple. But that's not the most important thing. This was also, this location was also called the Porch of Judgment. Because you see, now at Jesus' time, they didn't have Jewish kings. But there had been Jewish kings. I mean, Solomon had built the first temple. Solomon, the son of King David, had become the king. And so on, the hierarchy went. And there at the porch is where the Jewish king would hold court. And judgment was passed on the people that were brought before the king. A little foreshadowing there. Jesus chose this spot to address God's judgment through grace, through the gift of grace. Jesus says, I know them. I give them eternal life. And nothing can take that away from them. We are known and loved. A gift of God's grace to us. Even before we know we need it. Max Lucado shares a story about his daughter. She had gone off to college. He has several daughters, but the one had gone off to college, and he wanted to make sure that his daughters were responsible young adults, and so he let them manage their own bank accounts and all their own spending and that kind of thing, but he would get reports from the bank. He got the bank statements, a copy of them. Lo and behold, for his one daughter, he gets an overdraft statement. And so he's trying to figure out what to do with this overdraft statement. He said, you know, I had choices to make. I could just get in the car and barrel down to the college and confront her and just read her the riot act for overdrafting her bank account. But that wouldn't really solve the problem. It might help her remember in the future, but it wouldn't take care of what she owed the bank right now. I could call her up, he said, and just demand that she figure out some way to get some money in the bank and pay that overcharge fee. But he knew how fluid her money was, and that if there wasn't money in the bank account, there was no extra money to deposit into it. And so he said, my other choice is to pay it. And he said, so that's what I did. And I put in some extra to kind of replenish the bank account, and I paid the late fee, and it took care and satisfied the bank. And then he went to visit his daughter. And he said, honey, you have an overdraft. And he said, she froze. She hadn't gotten that word yet. She just froze, and she was silent, and then she was sorrowful, and she kept saying, "Dad, I'm so, so, so sorry. Please forgive me." And then came what he had kind of anticipated. "Dad, could you?" And he interrupted. And he said, "Honey, I already have." He had paid it in full and abundantly before she even knew she needed it. A long time ago, the gift of grace was paid into our account abundantly, even before we knew we needed it. A powerful gift of God's grace. This is how Jesus responds to who we are. We still receive the gift of God's grace, no matter who we are. In John 10, Jesus said, "The sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. I know them and they know me." But folks, that's not an exclusive club that Jesus has created. There's always room for more. What a gift we could give to others. What a gift we could give to our friends, those that we love in our life. Gift them this good news of grace. A grace that accepts them for exactly who they are. There was a mom who decided to celebrate her daughter's birthday at a carnival. So there were a total of 6 little girls, and at this time they were at the carnival. Now it's all gone electronic. But at this particular carnival, there were still wads of tickets, roll upon roll. And so she bought roll many, many, many tickets in multiples of 6 for these 6 little girls to ride all the rides. And so they would go to each individual ride when her daughter was ready to ride it, and she would stand at the gate there, that the entryway to the ride, and she'd hand out a ticket to each child. They'd put out their hand and they'd go squealing in to pick their seat and ride their ride. She said on one particular ride, she was handing out tickets and there was a 7th hand. And she said, "Oh, who are you?" She goes, "I'm Kelly." And she said, "Well, Kelly, who are you?" And she said, "I am your daughter. I'm Mariah's new friend. And she said that you would get me in." And the mom said, "Do you think I gave her a ticket?" "Absolutely." This is God's grace. This is the gift and the good news that we have to share with others. Because God knows us in spite of ourselves and loves us. Amen. May the peace of God enfold us. May the love of God uphold us as we go into the week, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities.
The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Nothing lacketh I am his, he is mine forever. He is mine forever.
Let us stand together for the benediction. In Romans 5:21, it says that grace invites us into a life that goes on and on and on without end. Amen.